Luke chapter 16, we have what I would entitle Christian stewardship. It's described here by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's also already told the three parables in the previous chapter. Those three particular parables are told on the benefit of the Pharisees and the scribes who murmured against the publicans and sinners that Christ had received. And he talked about lost things. One of the things that was lost was one of the sons of the rich man. And remember how he received his inheritance and went away and squandered all of his part of the inheritance. That particular fact leads into the thoughts that Jesus Christ has for his disciples. Because it says in verse number 1 of chapter 16, he said also to his disciples. Okay, in other words, we know who Jesus is talking to. He's using this particular instance, this particular subject about how we deal with material possessions to instruct his disciples that are there with him. Now the disciples, I believe, included many more than just the 12. I believe it included all of those who were coming along behind Christ, receiving his instruction and his teaching, and wanted to follow after him. So he gives this instruction here in this next chapter to help them to understand how they ought to behave themselves in the world with what God has entrusted them with. And so in essence, what he's doing is saying, you likewise are stewards. You likewise, as my disciples, are entrusted with certain gifts and abilities, and God expects you to use those to advantage. One of the advantages that God's people can do is further his kingdom. That'll be one of our top priorities. Whatever gifts or abilities or talents God gives us, we ought to use to glorify him and advance his kingdom. That's why I believe the Lord leaves us here. He wants us to be busy about his work, to accomplish those tasks that he set before us while he gives us the opportunity. Because we ought to know, and most of us have lived long enough to know, that life here is very short at best. Yeah, we've talked about people that live in their 90s, but you know what? 90 is very short compared to eternity, isn't it? I mean, it's as nothing. And so we need to use wisely the short amount of time that God allots us here as the stewards over that which he's entrusted us with, and use that in a way that will give glory to him and benefit others around us. And so, with those thoughts, let's look at this parable. The parable, excuse me, has a rich man and a steward as the main participants in it. When we look at that term steward, we find in Scripture it's first mentioned, and we mentioned that in the men's prayer group Saturday morning. And I brought up the first mention of a steward is found in Genesis, like many things. First mentions are found there very often. We have a steward named Eliezer, who's a steward for Abram. His name is Abram then, becomes Abraham, father of a great multitude. His name is changed to. Now, that's a queer name for God to give to a guy that doesn't have any sons yet, isn't it? Now, his name was Abram. I'm going to call you Abraham because you're going to be a father of a multitude. Okay? God is into miracles. God can do things beyond what we ever hope or think or ask. He's able. And this particular steward of Abram, we believe, is the same one that Abraham would later send to get a wife for his son, Isaac. And we talked about that a little bit. They journey off hundreds of miles with a caravan of camels and presents to bring back the future bride. And this particular servant does exactly what his master intends, has his master's heart in it, does it in such a great way that it accomplishes the purpose. And the amazing thing to me is, this Eliezer was in line, listen to me, though he was the top servant, he was in line to be the heir after Abram's death. Could you imagine that? It was not really, you know, when we think about it materially and in man's way of thinking, it wasn't in Eliezer's best interest to get Abram's son a wife, was it? I mean, here's the guy that would, you know, have significant if that didn't happen. But he was there. He was faithful. He served his master well. What a great example he is for us. In spite of the fact it may have hurt him to do what he did it because he was entrusted to do what was best for his master. And you know what? When we think about it, we're entrusted to do the same thing, aren't we? We serve the Lord, and He trusts us to do His work while He's in heaven. He leaves us to do those tasks. Now, we're not on our own. We have great helps, right? We have the Spirit to live inside of us and guide us and help us to do the work He's called us to do. But we are stewards as well. This particular situation, this certain rich man had a steward. The same was accused to him, it says, he'd wasted his goods. Accusation, probably very strong accusation, because it says in verse 2, he called him and said to him, "How is it I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship. For thou mayest no longer be steward." Now, what did he ask? First of all, it seems that he was surprised. Why? Because stewards were supposed to be trustworthy. They were supposed to do what was in the best interest of their master. That was their job. In fact, we find very few references to stewards in Scripture. We've mentioned the one. Joseph, for example, is not called a steward, but he does the work of the steward for Potiphar. Remember how he's brought down into Egypt, sold into slavery? Potiphar purchases him on the slave market, and Joseph becomes a faithful servant, so much so that he becomes head over his whole household, the Scripture tells us. That's kind of what a steward is. He takes care of those kinds of affairs. Got in a bad situation there. Remember that story? Potiphar's wife accused him of wrongdoing. But good for Joseph, he fled. He left there. He made tracks when he saw the way the situation was going. And so, but still, he was accused, he was put in prison, he interpreted some dreams, and all of a sudden, he went from the dungeon to the palace. Because he interpreted those dreams, and Pharaoh needed some help. He needed some wisdom. It's not enough to have the magicians of Egypt to help him. He needed someone with godly wisdom, and that happened to be Joseph. You see, God prepares and places people for such a time as this. God always has His person in line. Someone who will meet the exact needs that His people had. What happened? A famine came up. Right? Remember that? And Egypt was prepared because Joseph was there with Pharaoh and he had instructed them, in these 7 good years you save it back so that you'll have food when the bad 7 years come. I'm always amazed in our country. We're always talking about surplus. You ever calculated how much surplus we have? Well, for example, I think this year they say, even with the bad year, we'll raise 2.8 some. Now, let me get it right. Is it billion bushels of beans? Okay. Now, how many bushels do we use a year? Sell or? Well, quite a few. Because at the end of the year, we're going to end up with less than 200 million bushel, right?
That's pretty close.
If we didn't raise nothing the next year, somebody's going to go hungry. Right? I don't think we have near as big a surplus as we think. We ain't even got a year's supply on hand. I mean, we haven't even got... We can raise 2.8 billion bushels and at the end of the year have 200 million bushels left. That means that we've used over 2 billion bushel some way. We've sold it or we've used it ourselves in some manner. To me, we don't have a surplus. We just think we do. On paper. Yeah, you can't eat paper, can you? Well, kids try. But I know it's not very nourishing. Wisdom. Joseph had it. I pray. People, this is our responsibility. This is a side note, but this is our responsibility. We ought to pray for those in leadership in our country. They need wisdom. I mean, like no other time before, we need wisdom in leadership. We are in perilous times. Right? I mean, let's face it. Jobs are hard to come by, right? I mean, and it's as it were that we can make money, but it's like in, I think it was Haggai that talked about that. Something about we put money into bags and it's like they got holes in them and it all runs out. I can't remember the exact scripture, but it's there. That's the time of day we live in. We need wisdom. We need stewards that know how to handle their accounts and do things right. And so he called him and says, how did I hear this of thee? You see, there is a Christian stewardship as well. And that brings me to the first point. Christian responsibility. Christian responsibility. The steward was responsible to his master. And even so, we are all stewards to God when we think about it. Everything we have is His. He's entrusted it to us. You know, and for my mind, I like to put things real simple. And so I say, God, what have you given me? Well, you've given me and everybody else time. Each one of us got 24 hours in a day. No matter how hard I try to cram things in, I only got 24 hours. And you know what? The other day, I think I found out one of the secrets. Sometimes I cram too many things in. Because one of the amazing things I found when I was on my, for example, on my regiment of getting up and doing things and walking early in the morning and all that kind of stuff, I kind of forgot in the back of my mind, you need to get a proper amount of rest or That's not going to work. And so I believe my body was shutting down and rebelling and saying, no, I'm not going to lose any more. I'm going to go into fast mode and not burn any calories. Because I deadlined. I got to that point where I couldn't drop anymore. And I was beating myself up. And the problem was I was waking up at 3:30 in the morning. 4 o'clock in the morning. And not getting enough rest. You see, this body is designed that it needs rest. Oh, I anticipate the day when we'll have new bodies and they won't need rest. But you know what? As long as you and I are in this life, we need some rest, don't we? And we can't really be effective and productive in all the rest of our life if we don't get the proper rest. And so it takes stewardship of my time. I've got to watch over that time and use it for God's glory. And I found out personally, if I don't get enough rest, I'm not very productive in all the rest of it. And so I have to have some wisdom in how I use the time God has allotted me. As close as I can find out, we're all given 24 hours every day. But I think it's important for us to make sure, listen to me, to make sure that we give God a part of that time every day. Because if I don't start my day right and end my day right, it's a catastrophe. It is. I'm serious. But you know what? When I start with God and end with God, boy, it's a lot better. And it's even better if I have God in the middle there some too. So God gives us all time. He gives us all talents. You say, Pastor, somebody says, I don't have any talents. You're kidding. God gives us all certain abilities, talents, gifts, and He expects us to use them. We're stewards. And then the other T word is treasure. You say, I don't have any treasures. I'll tell you what. Let's put us all in the world population and we'd all be wealthy. Right? Now, we're just barely making it, most of us. Right? In this life here. But you know what? In the scheme of things in our world, we are well off. And when I think of it like that, I praise the Lord for the blessings He provided. And I look back and I like to remember they used to talk about the good old days. I can remember the good old days when I got out of school. And we came back and lived at Hutch. And I did odd things. In fact, I cut trees one winter and firewood for a living. I'll tell you what, you got to cut a lot of wood. Make a living cutting firewood. I did that one winter. But, you know, that teaches you humility. Humility. To thank God for His blessings. And we can look back on those experiences and see how God brought them through. And it also teaches you empathy for people that are having a tough time. Amen? You know, I think there's nothing God puts you through that He doesn't want it to be a learning experience for us and to help us to grow and become all that He wants us to be. Hey, it's all there for a reason. Sometimes I make big messes of it, but I'm glad that God can come along behind me, and as I trust in Him, He can help pick up the mess and make all things new. God's good, isn't He? All the time. And so, you see, there's responsibility, Christian responsibility. That's what Jesus is teaching about. This guy was not responsible. Now, let's read a little further. When the steward said within himself, what shall I do? You know, when you start on the wrong path, it's hard to turn around. This guy had some wrongdoing, obviously, in his life. Because he's more or less admitting here in verse 3 that he did wrong. The steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away my stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I'm ashamed. You know, Christian administration is important. As we administer and use the things we've done. This guy was prudent and wise in worldly ways. This guy knew he was going to be thrown out on his ear. And so his plan, how am I going to prepare for that day when I no longer have this position? What am I going to do? Well, probably the same thing he'd already done before. Took advantage of his situation and used it for his personal good. This rich man had some properties. As a steward, this steward was to administer or be administrator over that. We find out that one man owes him what? Let's read a little further. One owes 100 measures of oil. That's a lot of oil. Olive oil, most likely. 100 measures of oil. Any of your Bibles have little notes in there? They vary anywhere from a few hundred gallons of oil to over 1,000 a little bit on different commentaries that I've looked at. Now, I'll tell you what, if you even got 600 gallons of oil, that's a lot of oil. Roll out the barrels. That's how much one of the tenants owed the landowner. So it appears that there was a tenant arrangement. If you all understand what I'm talking about? Tenants had rented out certain portions of this wealthy individual's land. One part had olive trees on it that produced olives that they pressed for oil. Another portion was a portion of a field that produced wheat and grains. And so he had a responsibility to bring the proper rent. And he would give it to the steward, and the steward would take care of that for the landowner. And so, wow. This guy had to be pretty wealthy because he had all of these other people working for him. And one was administrating over all of that particular properties and making sure that all things were cared for well. Now it appears he had been dishonest some way. Because accusation had come, hadn't it? That he hadn't taken care of it properly. And so the master, the owner, the Lord, said, come. I want you to give an account. So what did the guy do? He didn't give an account. He called all those that had debts to his master in. Now, if I owed the landlord rent, and the administrator called me in, I'd be a little nervous. Because we already had an agreement. I already know what I owe him. And I'd be scared that something's going to happen. Rent might be going up. And I may not have all I need to satisfy the requirement. And so here they come. And when they say, what does your bill say? Well, the guy with the oil said 100 measures. He said, strike that baby out and put in 50. Half of what you owe. Now, I'll tell you what, that'd be considerable, wouldn't it? If your bill is cut in half, you're going to make more, aren't you? and you're probably in debt to somebody. Or feel an obligation to them at the least. And that was the intent, although it was a wrong way of going about it, that was the intent of this steward. He wanted all those other debtors to feel indebted to him. Right? At the expense of his master. See, he didn't care anymore because he's going to be out. And so he was looking out for number one, which is probably what he was doing all along. That's my guess. And so the guy that owed 80 measures of wheat, he says, strike it out and make it 50. Oh, we're reducing rents here real quick, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
But look what Jesus says about that. Verse 8. The Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of the world, of this world, are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Now, what is Jesus really saying? Let's read further. Verse 9. I say to you, make yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. What is Jesus sharing? Jesus, first of all, is not praising the methods this guy uses. I believe he's talking about the wisdom in preparing for the future. He knew he's going to be out. He knew he will have no more opportunity to serve as a steward, but he was preparing so he'd have somewhere to go when he got thrown out. And that's wise. By the way, he says, Christians many times are not very wise in that particular point. They're not really preparing for the future. Oh, they've trusted Christ. But are they doing all that they ought to be doing right now to prepare for eternity? Sometimes they don't take many thoughts about it. And you know what? We ought to take more thought about it. Amen? Because we never know when that day will come. When the Lord said, hey, this is the day. I'm calling you into account. Okay? What have you done with what I've entrusted you with? Have you used it well or not well? In fact, let's go a point further and say this. It's important not only to be responsible Christians, and to administer well the gifts that God has entrusted us with, we ought to be involved in His service as well. Not only are we to serve one master, God commands us to scatter the mammon of this world instead of keeping all that we can. But you see, we're in a struggle here. The mammon of unrighteousness says, keep all you can. That's the one God on one side. The Lord God says, scatter abroad and be a blessing. Two diametrically opposed ones. Jesus said, you can't serve God and mammon. The only one you can serve is God. If you're serving God, you can't serve mammon. But you know what? You can use the world's goods in this world, and there is a way to send it on forward, if you will. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt. Thieves break forth and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Well, how do you do that? Well, you involve yourselves in the Lord's work, don't you? You get involved in doing things for the Lord. You get involved in providing means for the things of the Lord's work. But you also, listen to me, you also do and become a blessing to those who know the Lord who are less able than you are. You see, I guarantee you there are going to be countless people that come into your life that are lacking in worldly things. Amen? That have needs. I because of my position in our county, I hear about it every day. Sadly, I can't help everybody. But you know, there are needs out there untold. Jesus, in His Word, teaches us there is a way to be a blessing. And I want to share, in closing, just several thoughts. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Because I think these portions of Scriptures will outline really what I want to say. Matthew chapter 6, first of all, out of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is talking here in chapter 6, beginning with verse 19. We quoted already part of it. He says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break forth and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Skip down to verse 24. He says, "No man can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." He uses that same phrase, "You cannot serve God and mammon," in our text this morning in verse number 13. That is in Luke 16, 13. No man can serve God and mammon. And then I want you to go on with me. He says, "Therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these. Therefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today, tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" So it boils down to faith, doesn't it? To trust God, God's going to provide. Do your part, and he'll meet the need. "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall you eat, or what shall you drink, or what shall you be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, or the unbelievers seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." And then, in conclusion, Matthew chapter 25. Chapter 25. I want to see the end of the matter. Sometimes it's kind of like Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. This is what Jesus has to say in Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse number 31. He says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall gather all nations. He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left." Believers and unbelievers, by the way, right hand and left hand. "Then the king said unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Now, notice this in particular. He says, "For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? Then shall he say, when saw thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw thee sick or in prison and came to thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say to you, inasmuch as you have done it to one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it to me."
Amen.
Wow. You know what? There's some poor believers around. We've been blessed.
Amen. Amen.
One of the ways that we can be a blessing, one of the ways that God can use us, in fact, He's been using us that way in the last while to be a blessing to those who trust God that sometimes just don't have what they need. You know what, folks? I can empathize. Been there and done that. I know what it's like. I know what it feels like. It's not easy to take a handout. It was hard for me. But you know what? God taught me. I had to at one point. I'll tell you what, it's a lot more fun to be on the other end, though. It's a lot more fun to be a blessing than the receiver of the blessing. But you know what? In life, I believe it goes both ways. And God wants us to be a blessing when we have the opportunities. And my prayer is that God will help us to see that. You see, we're just stewards of His resources. It's all His anyway. You know, old people says, oh, that's so-and-so's place, or this is so-and-so's place over here. You know? No, not really. We're just stewards here. Pretty soon we'll be put out of our stewardship. Are we ready for that day? Are we prepared? I pray that we will be as wise as we ought to be in preparing for eternity. And being a blessing while we have the opportunity, the stewardship is still ours. You see, as long as we have life as believers, we're still in the stewardship. We're still responsible. And my prayer, therefore, is God, help me to be a wise steward. Help me to make those investments you want me to make. Help me to be a blessing to those you want me to invest in. Help me and guide me. Whenever I've asked God to do that, He's always guided me. He's always helped me. And I know He'll do the same thing for you in your life. It's amazing what God can do. Let Him work in your life and use you to be a blessing. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word today. And I just pray that You would indeed take our lives and make our lives a blessing wherever we go. Use us for Your glory. And help us to see that everything we have is in trust from You. Help us to become a blessing in our communities. We ask and pray this in Christ's name.